Today is July 24th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover the Fed's data blind spot on payroll revisions and incoming Vice Chair Kevin Warsh's push toward alternative real-time pricing data, Securitize's $400 million SPAC listing that brought regulated tokenization to the New York Stock Exchange, and a spike in Treasury market volatility that's compounding funding pressure already building across bank balance sheets, 30 downward revisions to non-farm payrolls over the last 40 months. That's the number driving the most consequential shift in Fed data policy we've seen in years. Danielle DiMartino Booth of QI Research, speaking on the Lifetime Cash Flow podcast, laid out the mechanics plainly. Official payroll figures aren't just noisy, they're systematically biased downward, with final revisions landing roughly 18 months after the initial release. By the time the data is accurate, the policy decisions built on the flawed version are already baked into the system. The broader fintech pattern here is that market infrastructure has been pricing rate cut probability off a statistical series that keeps getting rewritten after the fact. Incoming Fed Vice Chair Kevin Warsh appears to be responding directly to that gap, exploring alternative data providers like Treflation for real-time pricing signals. If that exploration becomes formal policy, the implications run straight into bank asset liability management. Duration hedges and CECL loss forecasting models are built on official CPI and PCE trajectories. A methodology shift toward private, higher-frequency data would force a repricing of those models almost overnight. DiMartino Booth's read is stark. On a revised basis, the U.S. economy shed jobs across the first three quarters of 2025, a technical recession signal that never showed up in real-time headlines. Layer on her observation that only roughly 1 in 4 unemployed Americans currently collect benefits, and you get a labor slack measure that's structurally blind to gig and multi-job workers. That's not a rounding error, that's a data architecture problem with direct rate policy consequences. Looking at the regulatory landscape for tokenized securities, Securitize's arrival on the New York Stock Exchange marks the clearest capital markets signal of the cycle. The company closed its SPAC merger with Cantor Equity Partners on July 1st, raising $400 million at a $1.25 billion pre-money valuation, and shares have traded under the ticker SEX since July 2nd. CEO Carlos Domingo, speaking on Bankless, frames this as infrastructure validation rather than a market size story, because the market size, by his own account, is still tiny. Total on-chain tokenized assets sit at roughly $30 to $35 billion, against what he calls an addressable opportunity worth hundreds of trillions. The broader fintech pattern here is the widening gap between regulated and synthetic tokenization models. Securitize operates as an SEC-registered transfer agent since 2019 and also holds a broker-dealer license, which places its tokenized securities inside existing securities law record-keeping frameworks. Domingo draws a sharp line between that structure and synthetic tokenized equity products from platforms like Robinhood and Ondo Finance, one of which, he notes, failed to process a corporate stock split on-chain, producing roughly a 5-to-1 price discrepancy against the properly adjusted instrument. For institutions weighing custody or issuance partnerships, that's not a technical footnote. It's the difference between a compliance-native asset and an unhedged operational liability. Meanwhile, sovereign fixed income markets are sending their own warning. Luke Groman of FTT flags a move index reading of 118 alongside 10-year Treasury yields climbing to 4.65%, up from 3.95% just 5 months earlier. Groman describes Treasury market dysfunction beginning in late March, with bond and equity volatility peaking simultaneously, a pattern he calls abnormal, absent some form of policy intervention. The broader fintech pattern here connects directly back to bank balance sheets. Funding cost pressure is already surfacing in commercial real estate portfolios, and a sustained move higher in the MOVE index compounds that stress at exactly the moment banks are also facing potential repricing of their rate cut assumptions from the Fed's data question. These aren't two separate stories. They're the same risk showing up in two different places on the balance sheet. On the regulatory side more broadly, FDIC enforcement actions against partner banks Blue Ridge and Evolve, tied to Bank Secrecy Act and anti-money laundering gaps, underscore that banking-as-a-service arrangements now carry meaningfully higher compliance liability alongside their revenue share appeal. And the divergence between mandated and voluntary open banking regimes continues to widen. The UK's mandatory API regime has reached 8 million-plus users 6 years in. The EU's PSD2 framework covers 30 million plus users across 27 countries, while the US still runs a voluntary aggregator-led model built on legacy screen scraping. That gives US institutions more short-term control over their data relationships, but it leaves them exposed to fragmented, litigation-prone compliance risk as global standards mature around them. FinTech thesis update. What changed today is the confidence level around rate cut timing. A Fed potentially adopting alternative real-time data. A Treasury market already flashing volatility signals not seen since March. And a tokenization sector proving out its regulated infrastructure at public market scale. These together suggest institutions should be stress-testing their models against a scenario where official data itself becomes a moving target, not just the rates built on top of it. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.